making TV special.
Made with creamy butter.
Yeah. And you know what that means?
It's happening. I can feel it.
Yep.
Wilco again, that time with Billy Bragg singing lead vocals on All You Fascists. That's, of course, from Mermaid Avenue, Volume 2. Wilco and Billy Bragg putting the words of Woody Guthrie to new music. And I believe... I wasn't able to dig up this info. I may have played that track on the very first episode of MediaMonarchy.com back in, I believe, the end of October 2006. So chances are you haven't heard me play that song. And it was fitting because we, of course, began the last episode with brand new music from Wilco. And here we are. It's the B-side of 133. It's just after 12 p.m. noon here in Portland, Oregon, on this July 24th, 2009, as I explained at the end of last show. Portland Radio Authority is involved and is going to be broadcasting live a lot of the action from this weekend's PDX Pop Now Festival, pdxpopnow.com. So after about 1 o'clock, our regularly scheduled programs won't be heard for the weekend on PRA as we're covering the PDX Pop Now Festival. So Nathan Jimenez of Events of Our Time, who usually follows me on the Portland Radio Authority, isn't in today. So I'm, of course, stretching out and cramming in more news.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
The the news purge, if you will, here on 133B. Two massive postings. I wonder sometimes if this is really annoying. Perhaps invite some feedback from you guys who are followers of the site in the show. The news purge. There's no way I have the time and energy to post up full articles and flesh them all out. I collect them through my feed reader and put them in bookmarks and then post them up somehow. If the news overtakes me, I post them up as a list of headlines. And I trust you, if you're interested, we'll do the legwork, hit the links, and follow the stories. So the first big news purge we're going to hit of the two 723 news purges, the first, all the 9/11 updates, the bio wars and swine flu, cyberspace war, the drug wars, the econo crash, enviro health and geopolitics. We'll start with 9/11 updates. There's, of course, the NYCCAN petition. New York City Can. NYCCAN.org, I believe. And it's basically for New York City voters to vote for a new investigation into 9/11, if you can believe it. Now, one of the early slings and arrows they used to throw at 9/11 truth activists was, you're really hurting the families. Why dredge all this stuff up? We know that many, if not most, of the most prominent victims' family organizations, and of course I can't blame family members who have tried to put this behind them. I try not to be callous when we talk about the deaths of 3,000 people. But the 9/11 victims' families that are organized and active, they want a new investigation. 9/11 families endorse the NYCCAN petition. There's a press release from Scoop out of New Zealand. Outside City Hall, relatives of 9/11 victims, first responders, and survivors of the September 11th attacks gathered to endorse a November ballot initiative to establish a new 9/11 investigation under the auspices of the city government of New York. Support on the street is high, the group says, and polls indicate a majority of New Yorkers want a new investigation. Try and send this out to all the friends and family that you have in New York City, and I will do the same. An update from 9/11 blogger. The petition has now surpassed 70,000 signatures, which is putting it in a comfortable area. However, more is necessary to cement it. There's another great bit, again from 911blogger.com, about someone we've mentioned before on the show, District Judge Alvin K. Hellerstein. And if we go to this posting from John Gold on 911blogger.com, over the years he's posted numerous stories pertaining to Hellerstein. This breakdown mentions, with links to the Village Voice and the New York Times and the Associated Press and the New York Times and the New York Sun and the Philadelphia Inquirer and PR Newswire and Reuters and Raw Story and on and on and on about all the interesting and important decisions that Alvin K. Hellerstein has had to make. He, of course, being the district judge for the jurisdiction of where the events took place. So the question is, should a guy who just happened to be the judge in the jurisdiction of the most major investigation to ever happen, is there something better we could do? However, that would fly in the face of, say, in the event of JFK's assassination. At that point, killing a president was not a federal crime. And so when the Secret Service swooped in and stole the body, it was not their jurisdiction. Interesting sidebar here. If you listen to the previous episode, 133, where we discussed the upcoming national-level exercises being run by FEMA and Northrop Grumman that involves foreign troops. I placed a live call on the air to FEMA to talk to them about NLE 09, and they just called me back. But I can't take a cell phone call because I can't broadcast it on air. I did it through Skype in the previous episode so you guys could hear it. So they're quick. Sometimes. But I digress. Buffer grows around the Shanksville Memorial. That's from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Of course, the memorial that basically the government has now seized land from the people who actually owned it to build this new memorial that they hope will be opened on the 10th anniversary. Anytime, of course, we mention United 93, we mention Hoodwinked in Shanksville, and the interesting work that folks like Killtown have done. Another interesting question, and again, we've touched on the drills both previously and recently. Was Delta Flight number 1989 part of a live-fly hijacking exercise on 9/11? It's been widely reported on 9/11, four passenger aircraft were hijacked and three of them subsequently hit their intended targets in New York and Washington. Less well known is that during the 2 hours over which the attacks occurred, air traffic controllers and military personnel had to devote a significant time to a fifth plane that was incorrectly reported as hijacked. This aircraft was, in the words of one military official, quote, the first red herring of the day. And that is the first footnote on this amazing article posted by Shoestring up on 911blogger.com. Was Delta 1989 part of live fly hijacking exercise on 9/11? That first footnote and source goes to the 9/11 Commission report. And there are tons and tons of footnotes. How many? Scrolling all the way down, 46 plus footnotes on this article. I've spent a lot of time studying this. I was unfamiliar with Delta Flight 1989. So there's always new avenues and new rocks being overturned in the crumbling cover-up of the official story of the events of 9/11. Last 9/11 update we have from the Associated Press. Hillary says that the 9/11 ringleaders are in Pakistan. That's right. You knew it. We've noted many times that Pakistan replaced Iraq on the list of where the war of terror is taking place. Of course, we're knocking out tons of terrorists, of course, with our drones, which are like video games, which are being controlled by people who like video games, and they can do it from a distance. They're kind of spared the blood and guts of it. I forget which wars and conflicts it's been said that when they looked at some of the corpses in the battlefield, they hadn't fired their guns. Because when you're face-to-face with somebody who could be your brother, it's, you know, kind of hard to shoot and kill them. Especially when, as we've noted many, many times before, that pretty much every war is started on the basis of a lie. But some of the bio-wars and swine flu updates again. Not going away. It's only getting closer as we gear up for the fall, where they've basically told us what's coming, a pandemic and mass forced vaccinations. Clyde Lewis of the Ground Zero Lounge has a fantastic new article. It goes along with the most recent episode of the Ground Zero Lounge, Kool-Aid 666, the injection infection. What's the 666 mean? Well, Cryptogon.com notes a data sheet about a vaccine called Prepandrix that's being made by GSK, that's GlaxoSmithKline. It has these entries about biodefense stockpiles and some of their serial numbers. Well, the biodefense stockpile in the UK is known as EU666. And the biodefense stockpile in the United States is known as US666. Do we believe in the numerology? Not so much. Do they believe in the numerology? Absolutely. And sometimes they like to get you to believe in something even though they think it's ridiculous. And vice versa. The government has announced a flu pandemic PSA propaganda contest. There's a nice little video up on YouTube with Bilderberger, Kathleen Sebelius, telling you to make a video about the upcoming swine flu propaganda psyop. And maybe it's not fair exactly to call it a psyop. It's a real thing, and people will probably die, unfortunately. But it's also nice to see that there are a lot of negative comments up on the YouTube page, even though the comments are being moderated. They are letting things through. I haven't checked back to see if my comment got up there. Government announces flu pandemic PSA propaganda, which I can only call participulation. Participate in your own manipulation. Agencies to set up mass swine flu vaccinations. That's from the San Francisco Guardian. Legal immunity set for swine flu vaccine makers. That's from the Associated Press. Baxter, you know, the pharmaceutical company that sent out a tainted vaccine that they said was an accident, that many scientists and researchers said there's no way it could have been an accident. Tainted vaccines. They patented their swine flu vaccine 2 years before this new outbreak. China quarantines British school group over swine flu fears. That's from The Guardian. German mass swine flu vaccinations to start in September. That is from a German news source. There's a nice video that I don't really have time to play the clip from. It's a rapper from New Zealand, NZ Trillion. Say no to the vaccine. That video is up. Say no to the vaccine. The vaccine song. Dropping truth bombs in an effective way through music and video. Again, don't hate the media. Become the media. The last swine flu update note is that the U.S. has bought 195 million doses of H1N1 vaccine. That's from Reuters. Are they going to sufficiently scare the population into clamoring and begging for it? Or are they going to force you to do it? We are unfortunately going to find out fairly soon. Moving on to the cyberspace war note, and I do sneakily drop in a link to the embryonic version of another news site brought to you by MediaMonarchy.com. That's me. Cyberspacewar.com. In addition to Particulation.com, FoodWorldOrder.com, and of course the flagship MediaMonarchy.com. Cyberspace war updates. Our good friends Raytheon, private military contractors, making things so people have things to do things to other people with, namely killing. What do they want? They want cyber warriors and media sanitizers. This originally comes from Threat Level, but we even link you over to the Raytheon press release about them wanting cyber warriors and media sanitizers. Defense and intel contractor Raytheon is moving into the lucrative realm of cyber warfare and wants to hire hundreds of cyber warriors to, quote, play offense and defense, according to an advertisement on the company's website. President Obama recently announced that cybersecurity is one of our nation's most urgent national security priorities. Raytheon is answering that call by hiring more cyber warriors this year to help fight the digital cyber war. Again, that we start. And it should, of course, concern you that the military-industrial complex is actively engaging you and me on the web, again, fighting the net. It's an enemy weapons system. But on the other side of the world, by way of Mike Whitney on informationclearinghouse.info, he's covering the Israeli web warfare team. That's now been unveiled. But if we jump out to space, again, cleaning up a little bit of the last few headlines about the recent moon memes. NASA looks at next giant leap in space. That's from the Washington Post. An interesting explanation, possible explanation from Mike Rivero on whatreallyhappened.com about why the quality of the original moon landing video was so bad. Another note on the Apollo 11 hoax, as we mentioned on the last episode, as of the anniversary, Apollo 11 hoax was the number one searched term on Google. But this from the Telegraph out of the UK, 1 in 4 people do not believe in moon landing. National Geographic asking the interesting question, who owns the moon? The galactic government versus the United Nations. This brings to mind hilarious things from The Simpsons, old newsreels that they show about the moon belongs to America, and it anxiously awaits the arrival of our astro men. And of course, the other clip that we just played a couple weeks ago, which is only now more important, and that's the satire from Mr. Show about blowing up the moon, which of course, we're supposedly planning on it. NASA plans to bomb the moon. Google that. Intel chief says the source of cyber attacks still unknown. That's from Federal Computer Week. And lastly, a Brighton out of the UK company involved in cyber attack on US and South Korea. Again, these are the attacks that James Corbin and I talked about in our interview and in his article, Worldwide Wiretap, as well as 9/11 and cyber terrorism. A couple notes on the drug war. Voters in California approve marijuana tax. That's from the Deutsche Press Agency. And humorously from Raw Story, Harry Potter actor charged with growing 10 marijuana plants. That's Jamie Waylett, 19, who plays schoolboy bully Vincent Crabb. Growing 10 pot plants. That's from the AFPs as well as Raw Story. On the Econo crash tip, Detroit, the post-apocalyptic future of American cities. That's an excellent and lengthy article from AlMartinRaw.com. Congresswoman introduces a bill to ban all credit default swaps. That's from Washington's blog. Watchdog says U.S. bill for TARP, that would be the Troubled Asset Relief Program. Oh, it could be huge. That's from MSNBC. However, we know, thanks to Paul Joseph Watson on truthnews.us, that the cost of the bailout so far has hit a whopping $24 trillion. Again, more great work from the man the Democrats should have nominated, Dennis Kucinich, asking the question, is the Fed paying banks not to loan money? Which reminds me, I actually had to get up early this morning and go to a store meeting. A couple times a year we have an all-store meeting and where we go over important issues and we actually go over all the financials and they lay it all out and disclose it all to the employees. Talking about trying to open new locations, and actually the president of our company was there speaking to us, and she said, you know, a year or so ago, the banks were clamoring to give us money to open new stores. Now, they're not giving us anything. Which, again, gave me the opportunity to lean over to a friend and say, that's because we know the banks have been told not to loan anything out. And in order to illustrate that a little more, Bernanke says, I don't know which foreign banks were given $500 billion. More on that, again, from Paul Joseph Watson. But a great five-part video piece that basically accompanies his amazing recent article, The Great American Bubble Machine. It's Matt Taibbi of Rolling Stone and the video Government by Goldman Sachs.
The list of former Goldman Sachs employees who occupied important positions in the government is, you know, as long as my arm. And they're not low-level employees either. They're, you know, at the very highest levels of government, starting, of course, with former Goldman chief Bob Rubin, who was Bill Clinton's Treasury Secretary in the mid to late 90s. And he passed a number of critically important laws that had, profound impact on the current financial crisis. There were two big laws in particular that he was a part of. One was the Graham-Leach-Wiley Act, which where he healed a Depression-era law called the Glass-Steagall Act, which prevented investment banks and commercial banks and insurance companies from merging. And what's really funny is that the reason they wanted to repeal that law is because Citibank wanted to go through with a merger with Travelers Insurance and Solomon's with Barney at the time. So they needed permission from the government. Rubin helps them do this merger. He gets this law passed. He immediately goes to work for Citibank and makes himself $130, $140 million in the next 10 years. You know, there's a common conception out there among a lot of liberals and progressives that where there is deregulation, where there was mischief going on Wall Street, that it had to have something to do with the Republicans or George Bush. In fact, in the case of Goldman, it's exactly the opposite. This bank has longstanding and very deep ties to the Democratic Party. Goldman was actually the number one private campaign contributor to Barack Obama. Last year, they gave almost four times as much money to congressional Democratic candidates as they did to Republicans. And they have a long history of putting their former employees in Democratic administrations. And it's not just Rubin. Look at Barack Obama's administration now. The number two guy at the Treasury is a former Goldman Sachs lobbyist. And Timothy Geithner himself, although he never worked for Goldman, he actually used to work for Bob Rubin at the Treasury Department. There's Goldman people all over the place, and what's so outrageous about that is that you have so many instances of former Goldman employees working in the government, helping out Goldman while they're in the government. These banks are almost entirely unregulated. Whenever they wanted a change in regulations, they just asked for it and they got it.
That's just the middle portion of the five-part video from Matt Taibbi and Rolling Stone about the great American bubble machine, government by Goldman Sachs. And if you'll recall, if you were listening early last summer, late last spring, on MediaMonarchy.com, we were talking about who's giving all the money to this Obama guy. Oh, look, it's Goldman Sachs, which he just mentioned. And then, of course, he gets in, and who gets appointed to key positions? Goldman Sachs and banksters. If we look throughout history, it really is us versus the international banksters. I don't apply any sort of race or religious element to those banksters. And we'll quote Jello Biafra and the Dead Kennedys one more time from their legendary track, Nazi Punks Fuck Off, where he notes, "You fight each other, the police state wins. Stab your backs when you trash our halls," meaning, why wreck your own venues and communities because you're a drunk punk. "Stab your backs when you trash our halls. Trash a bank if you got real balls. You still think swastikas look cool? The real Nazis run your schools. They're coaches, businessmen, and cops. In a real Fourth Reich, you'll be the first to go. You'll be the first to go, you'll be the first to go, you'll be the first to go, unless you think." On to the EnviroHealth notes from Wired.com/WiredScience. Mysterious glowing clouds appear across America's night skies. Now, nowhere in the article does it mention chemtrails. But, of course, all the people in the commenters do. Chemtrails, HARP, geoengineering the atmosphere. Something is going on in the skies. Call me crazy conspiracy theory if you want, but if you're listening to the show and you live in Portland, Oregon, you can look up and know that something's up. That mysterious blob of Arctic goo that we reported on last week, drifting off on the Alaskan coast. Well, it's all been explained by the military now. The Coast Guard says it's marine algae. Nothing to see here. Move along. We, of course, mentioned last week the Obama administration scrapped that evil Bush's plans to log in Western Oregon. We're not doing it out of any sort of moral reason other than it ties into the phony, man-made, anthropogenic global warming scam. A great piece from AreaWideNews.com, Purity of Essence, the real history of fluoride. Purity of Essence, of course, being a line from, again, Stanley Kubrick's Dr. Strangelove. 1973 document that has been uncovered from UNESCO. That would, of course, be the UN organization that was run by Aldous Huxley's brother. Of course, the Huxleys being huge eugenicists involved with the Wedgwoods and the Galtons and the Darwins. A 1973 document has been uncovered outlining the blueprint for family planning and all the propaganda that that entails. Looking outside the North American Union on the geopolitical scene, Russia and China have warned the U.S. that an Israeli attack on Iran would mean world war. That's from .connector UK. Meanwhile, Russia and China have kicked off joint military exercises. That's from the AFP, as well as around the world. During that, from Press TV, Chinese military fighter bomber crashes. And from Danger Room, the drone war escalates. 365 dead so far in 09, a study says, about, of course, our robots being operated by essentially video game loving teenagers killing goat farmers in Pakistan because they're with Al-Qaeda or Al-Qaeda or the Taliban or some other U.S. intelligence connected front. Osama bin Laden's son reportedly killed in Pakistan. First report I got was from NPR. Second one from the Washington Post. Officials say son of OBL believed killed in U.S. missile strike. However, what we learned from ABC News is that the CIA kept this secret for months. Shocker. Just like an amazing shocker recently. Oh my God, you mean the CIA misled Congress? Really? I'm shocked and appalled. U.S. continues to train Honduran soldiers. This, of course, in the wake of the recent military coup that was, of course, conducted with the help of a couple guys that were trained at Fort Benning at the School of the Americas, where we train Latin American folks to go out and run drugs and topple governments. Because, you know, the CIA can't have the full monopoly on drug running and government overthrows. If you give a man a fish, you know he'll eat a fish. But, man, if you can teach a man how to run drugs and overthrow companies, I mean countries. More fantastic work from Russia Today. I'll stop saying more fantastic work because it'll just become a given here on MediaMonarchy.com. From Russia Today, Colonel Karen Kwiatkowski breaks down that what's going on and the operations in Afghanistan are rooted in Israel.
And so does that mean that if Iran continues to be a constant threat to the U.S., are we never going to get out?
Iran is not a threat to the United States. Okay, say it right
that
now.
Way, yeah.
Iran is not a threat to the United States in any way, shape, or form. That is not even that issue. Iran is an annoyance to Israel. Certainly it is a selling point that Iran could or might or has threatened Israel. So there is a concern that Israel is our ally. It must be made very clear that Iran is not a threat to the United States at all. So what we're doing is part of a larger Middle East policy that necessarily embraces our interest in supporting or facilitating things for Israel. And I think it's illegal to say that our ally Israel, which is considered an ally, both of your parties would argue this, is factored in the way that we treat Iran. Because quite frankly, Iran, as Iraq in 2002, and as Afghanistan, is no threat to America proper. It's irrational to think that they're a threat.
That's just a couple moments from Karen Kwiatkowski's interview on Russia Today. A few updates on the Jakarta hotel bombs that happened just about a week ago, and we briefly mentioned on last week's show. Jakarta hotel bombs, the military and the CIA. That's coming from an international blog, which name I can't pronounce at the moment. Jakarta false flag attacks designed to rekindle the global war of terror, from Yurian Mason up on prisonplanet.com. Reuters reports that blasts at the Ritz-Carlton and the Marriott hotels in Jakarta killed at least 9 people as well as injuring at least 50. In addition, Reuters reported that a car bomb was detonated at a toll road in North Jakarta not long after. Although the Dow Jones Newswires report this last explosion was not caused by a bomb, but by a pickup truck catching fire. According to eyewitness reports, the blast in both hotels took place just minutes apart and emanating from within the building, pointing to either an attack by suicide bombers or to the possibility that the explosives were planted there beforehand. Reports by the Straits Times indicate the latter option is the most probable, as an unexploded bomb has been found and defused at the Marriott Hotel. In any case, all eyewitness accounts say the blast clearly occurred from the inside out. Greg Wollstonecroft, chief technical officer at a local television station, was near the scene at the time of the explosions, and he told CNN's CIA's Anderson Cooper, quote, "I've actually lived at the Ritz-Carlton for 12 months. That hotel's probably got the highest security of any hotel in Indonesia, and I just don't know how someone could get in there with a bomb, given the level of security, the level of screening people have to go through. I just don't know how that person got that bomb in." How indeed. CIA caught off guard by Jakarta hotel terror attack. That's from ABC News. And last note on the Jakarta bombings as well as the geopolitical tip, Malaysian terrorist leader suspected in Jakarta hotel bombings. That's from The Guardian. And that closes out the first massive news purge, 723 News Purge, 9/11 bio, cyber, drug, econo, enviro, and geopolitics. It's now on to the mystery, media, mayhem, Obama, Saya, Police State Plus. You with me? History mystery, my friends. Asking the question, was TWA Flight 1, or rather 800, was TWA 800 shot down by a military missile? Again, going to dotconnectoruk.blogspot.com, connecting the dots in the New World Order. In 1996, TWA Flight 800 was shot down south of Long Island. The U.S. government, despite the embarrassment of having been caught in court, rigging lab tests and lying in its reports, still officially attributes the disaster to a spark in the center fuel tank, while government spokespeople insist that the witnesses who saw a missile hit the jumbo jet are all a bunch of drunks. There is a fascinating photo posted up along with this, and it comes basically from people just happening to be snapping a photo at the very moment. In the background, someone discovered there's a cylindrical thing zooming through the background mere moments before the plane exploded. Those photos were run by Der Spiegel out of Germany and many, many other places. Speaking of Germany, 300 Nazis still go free in America. That's from the CJP.org site. What does that stand for? Combined Jewish Philanthropies. Oh, and this does originate from the New York Post. And they, of course, mention John Demjanjuk, the former Ohio auto worker, formerly charged with war crimes in Germany. They shipped him off. But again, this shouldn't surprise us. Operation Paperclip. We know Nazis ran away. We know they came here. Do we know what happened to the people who weren't helping out with NASA and with amazing new creative and destructive technologies? We've mentioned, of course, Orson Welles, The Stranger. What's that about? Nazi hiding out at a college. CIA's past haunts us. That's from SouthCoastToday.com. Watergate Hotel to be auctioned. The original coming from the DPA, but then the update. Watergate was sold for $25 million to a German-owned firm. Ukrainian former official admits to murdering a journalist in 2000. This is from Wikinews. A former official from the Ministry of Internal Affairs of Ukraine confessed to involvement in the abduction and murder of journalist Georgi R. Gongadze. That's a tough name, and I mangle it. But we see, of course, with the recent murder of a Russian journalist, that sometimes digging and speaking out can get you killed. An interesting note from the Washington Times, as well as a little MP3 clip that they add from Governor Tim Kaine's press conference about Cho, that being the Virginia Tech shooter, and the recent discovery of some of his health records.
The announcement deals with the shooting at Virginia Tech in April of 2007. In the aftermath of the shooting, and as the investigation was taking place, there was one troubling fact that continued to cause concern, and that was Sun Wee Cho's counseling file from the Cook Counseling Center on the Virginia Tech campus could not be found. People were aware that he had sought treatment there, and people who were involved in that treatment and those discussions certainly described Sun Wee Cho's mental health and the interaction of the Virginia Tech community with him. But the file was not found, and that led, obviously, to a lot of concern about what had happened to it and, you know, who was involved. The file has now been found. The Cho mental health file from the counseling center has been recovered from the home of a former employee who left the employ of the counseling center a number of months before the shooting. The file was recovered in connection with the civil lawsuit that is now pending. There is a civil lawsuit pending concerning the matter, and in connection with the defense and preparation of that civil lawsuit, the file was recovered. I'm not allowed to say more about the circumstances of the recovery of the file, but what I want to say is this. We think it is imperative that the file be made public as quickly as possible.
Let's see if that happens. And again, they can't explain why did that public health record go home with an employee months before the shooting. Let's speed through these, my friends. It's media memes now. Billboards tell America to cheer up. That's from the nzherald.co.nz. Billboards going up around D.C. telling you, oh, don't worry, be happy. Everything's great. MK Ultra guinea pig Robert Hunter wrote pretty much all the lyrics for the new Bob Dylan album. It's, of course, known that he participated in CIA-fronted LSD experiments and all that bullshit going on. CIA mafia media shill Gerald Posner claims Michael Jackson accidentally killed himself. Gerald Posner, of course, known from his bullshit book Case Closed about the assassination of JFK. More from Alex Constantine on MJ. Jackson was guilty of pedophilia. Those who defend him have been misled. There's a review from Time Magazine on the Discovery Channel's recent post-apocalyptic psyop reality show, The Colony. We covered that recently. And, of course, the story, some e-books are more equal than others. Kindle kills Orwell's 1984 and Animal Farm. This is the story of Amazon's Kindle. What seemed like they were censoring those books, but I think has turned out to actually be that they were unauthorized printings. Interesting nonetheless. Murder and Mayhem. UK cleaner has his head cut off in giant meat blending machine, and of course the company tried to cover it up. That's from the Daily Mail. Four Seasons Hotel in L.A. evacuated after fire alarm. Two light rail trains collide in San Francisco. Another train derailment meme. We, of course, noted that during, you know, Arden Century, the drill that was featuring train derailments, we had train derailments in Illinois, and then we had the massive, deadly train derailment in Washington, D.C. on the Metro. We had the recent Disneyland monorail crash, and now we have two light rails colliding in San Francisco. But that's not all. But hold on. EU criticizes the death penalty in the U.S. after our 1,000th execution. That's from the Deutsche Press Agency. And again, that seems to kind of set the table for what could perhaps happen to the United States of America when perhaps the world looks at us. And this, of course, looked more likely under the reign of terror of Bush the Younger. That the international community would look at the U.S. and say, you guys are rogue, you're insane, we're sending in the blue helmets. Former U.S. presidential candidate Gene Amundsen has died following a stroke. I had never heard of him. He was apparently the leader of the Prohibition Party. Somebody left a landmine in a Colorado Goodwill donation box. That's from CBS4Denver.com. Four boys accused in rape of an 8-year-old girl. Drive-by shooting at Texas Southern wounds six. 37-year hunt for a killer is over after, of course, the cops mowed him down. And, of course, now we'll find nothing else out. That's from the Sacramento Bee. Journalist death rise in media bloodbath. More journalists killed abroad this year than many other years. 65-year-old woman arrested over the death of two Mexican wrestlers. That's from Wikinews, and the update that I saw early this morning, and this really struck me, four dead as helicopter crashes onto Maryland Highway. This would be the stretch of highway between Frederick and Hagerstown. I've been on that road many, many times, and I was even actually arrested by the Frederick police, but we won't get into that right now. That was 10 years ago. Obamasiah and the Apostles of War, again, nonpartisan, we make no distinction. Both parties are corrupt and they prop each other up. When one party's in favor, the other guys can't see the evil of their own party, and on and on. Amazingly enough, and again, the things that these guys say, is it a coincidence? Do they not know what they're doing? Are they speaking off the cuff? But they have larger implications. Again, what Lauren Coleman of the Copycat Effect calls twilight language. The Obama Saya has said to take the blue pill.
If there's a blue pill and a red pill, and the blue pill is half the price of the red pill and works just as well, why not pay half price?
He may have just been speaking off the cuff, but I find it incredibly interesting that Obama said to take the blue pill. The blue pill, in case you don't know, guys, from The Matrix and even Alice in Wonderland, the blue pill is the one you take when you don't want to know what is going on, when you want to go back to sleep and wake up and stay in your little fake world. You take the red pill, and we'll show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. So there's Obama telling you to take the blue pill and stay asleep. However, in a recent online conference call with the great left blogosphere, Obama let this one come out. Quote, blogs are best at debunking myths that can slip through a lot of the traditional media outlets, end quote. We're going to make you regret that one, buddy. Cindy Sheehan says that Obama is a more polished puppet than the last guy, and she's right. Obama, of course, is going to attend an upcoming North American Union meeting August 9th through the 10th, and his approval ratings have fallen below 60%. That's from CNN. Obama's ratings fall as polls show honeymoon may be over. That's from The Telegraph. Obama popularity drops amid healthcare clash and poor economy. That's from the Deutsche Press Agency. What did Biden and all these guys say? At around 6 months, it's going to look bad. It's going to look like we're floundering. It's going to look like we're not knowing what we're doing. He also said, we're going to have some kind of crisis. And Madeleine Albright said the same thing. And Colin Powell said the same thing. So brace yourselves, because they generally telegraph their moves. Obama goes prime time to pitch health care again. Obama declines to disclose visits by health industry executives. That's from the Los Angeles Times. Obama declines United Nations request for Guantanamo visits and data on CIA prisons. That's from the Washington Post. Change you can believe in. Does the abuse and humiliation continue? Freed Gitmo detainees claim post-Obama mistreatment. That's from Der Spiegel. Again, it's Obama's war now. He's taken the ball, and he is running fast with it. And so the war of terror continues. U.S. weighs special team of terrorism investigators. That's in the Wall Street Journal. And we note from Washington's blog that your taxpaying dollars are used to torture children. Just so you know. Group plans lawsuit to unveil the CIA's Pentagon Papers. That's from Threat Level. Did Cheney's assassination squad operate on U.S. soil? So those are a couple of Cheney notes and the shadow government executive assassination squad stories that are swirling around. But now it's Obama's executive assassination squad. Now we shift into some of the apostles of war that swirl around these phony, corrupt puppets. There's a report and a video from Raw Story and CNN about homeless people being paid to stand in line for D.C. lobbyists. Remember, Obama said he was going to cut out the lobbyists, but then he hired more than ever before. Texas congressman calls Obama a fascist dictator. That's from LaRouchePack.com. Executive Order 13489 and the big birth certificate debate. That's from FreedomMedium.com. A slew of videos from Raw Story on the birther meme. GOP lawmaker shoots down birther claim. That's at a town hall meeting. Chris Matthews of Hardball takes on GOP's birther bill, but of course asserts, as far as I know, he was born here. Liz Cheney speaks out in defense of the birthers, which I'm sure they really wanted that kind of support. And again, we don't really delve into the birther meme. I've compared it many, 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 many times to the controlled demolition stories of 9/11. Obama's lawyers shield Cheney on leak. We've noted that before, and again, carrying the ball on and on. Cheney's Secret Service protection extended. This is from CBSNews.com. Your taxpaying dollars still protecting Darth Cheney at, of course, Obama's behest. Of course, Darth asked for it because he needs it because he's generally hated and despised. Fuck. Was UK weapons expert Dr. Kelly a victim of Cheney's hit squad? Question mark. A guy named Robert Hormats, H-O-R-M-A-T-S, another Goldman Sachs vice chairman and Council on Foreign Relations member, has been picked for a State Department post. One of the senators from my home state of West Virginia, however, he's a Rockefeller eugenicist elite fuck. Rockefeller sidesteps questions on the CFR and Bilderberg in his recent confrontation by We Are Change activists. There's the video, fleshed it out. In an article from Kurt Nemo, Rockefeller can't deny his connection to modern eugenics. Sotomayor, in the recent hearing, she won't concede that people have a right to self-defense when basically asked point blank, so do people have a constitutional right to defend themselves? She's like, I don't know. There's a funny video again, Catherine Sebelius, Bilderberger Sebelius, taking fire on healthcare at a town hall. Again, it's nice to see that these people have to come out into public. And as long as informed, activated citizens are there to call them out on their lies, we can maybe get some stuff happening. German man who protested Obama deemed insane. And finally, LaRouche calls for Obama's impeachment. That's a press release from Scoop. On the Police State International tip, cable TV workers trained to spy on U.S. citizens. That's Bright House Networks in their Operation Bright Eyes. New York man forcibly sedated for cavity search gets $125,000 settlement. NORAD military exercise over Chicago yesterday tested the response to the city's airspace. UK police given powers to enter homes and tear down anti-Olympics posters during the games. Still staying in the UK, the school with 100 spy cameras. UK Big Brother system watches all the little kids. Hey teachers, leave them kids alone. UK kids traumatized by War of the Worlds abduction of teacher. That's from the Telegraph, and it was a hoax. As we've mentioned, War of the Worlds, hoax many times. Conservative kiosk not allowed at North Carolina Mall. That's because he dared to have stickers and shirts criticizing the Messiah. MTA, Maryland Transit Authority, considers installing audio surveillance on trains and buses. Senate rejects concealed weapons measure. Charges dropped against, of course, the Harvard scholar Henry Louis Gates arrested at his home, and all the furor that Obama said the police acted stupidly. And that whole meme is bandying about, and we won't see the end of that, at least through this news cycle weekend. The Department of Homeland Stupidity has launched a YouTube channel, and I sure ran over there quick and subscribed. YouTube.com/U.S. Homeland Security. Emergency drill sent helicopters into Denver's skies. More drills, more black helicopters. That's from 9news.com. And, of course, we always note that stuff that's been going on in Denver seems to be also going on in Portland, Oregon. From Portland Indy Media, local law enforcement surveillance plane circling overhead. That isn't just speculation. They called the authorities. They said it's the police doing surveillance, and that's all we know and can tell you. War whores. The whores of war. Gates. That would be Robert Gates. Remember the guy who wasn't in D.C. during the inauguration because he was the quote-unquote designated successor? In case a nuke went off, the head of the military would be our new Führer. U.S. to expand army, even China View is covering that story. Five reasons why half of U.K. wants troops out of Afghanistan. Those reasons coming from Danger Room. I'm not sure if any of those reasons contain the lies of 9/11. Did U.S. forces watch Afghan massacre? That's from Salon. Russia to draft 320,000 conscripts in fall 2009. So we're going to beef up our forces by 22,000. So Russia says, all right, we'll get 320,000. John Yoo, author of the torture memos, a scumbag par excellence, got pranked in a classroom. This is from Threat Level. He was given a talk at the Chapman University School of Law where an Australian comedian was in the class and basically stood up and replicated the iconic pose of the hooded prisoner standing atop the battery that he was hooked to. And of course John Yoo said, nah, this is over, and left. And again, confront these guys. Double shooting at Fort Lewis in Washington State. Of course, didn't know whether to put that into the war horrors or the murder and mayhem, but there you go. Finally, one note of West Virginia worry. A train derailment in Mingo County, West Virginia. This, again, by way of copycateffect.blogspot.com, where recently Lauren Coleman has talked about synchromystic rail wrecks. And there's been another one. And it certainly seems to have happened in the midst of many dots that can be connected to some strange links. Four workers were injured after a freight train derailed at a Warm Cliff, West Virginia coal plant and caused a nearby building to collapse, this on Tuesday, July 21st. There's a nice photo of an obelisk nearby dedicated to the Battle of Point Pleasant. Of course, Lauren Coleman, again, Twilight language. And here's his definition, as long as I'm on the page looking at it right now. The Twilight language exists via coded words, name games, and number coincidences found in the news and history. These writings look at the hidden meanings and the copycat effect that transform events into hot death stories and celebrity happenings. These realms are explored in the Copycat Effect book, published by Simon Schuster in 2004. There you have it. We also link you to his recent reporting on his so-called synchromystic rail wrecks. So is this part of the larger train derailment meme that, again, we covered on MediaMonarchy.com? I work my ass off to try and get all the information that I believe is important out to you so you can be informed, so you can make better decisions about your life. I don't do it perfectly. I don't do the best job in the world. I wish I could do better. I wish I could do more. I wish I were smarter and faster and all that. But I'm doing my best. And help me, is all I can say. So with a huge thanks again to Cascadia Public Radio, Ground Zero Radio out of Canton, Georgia, 87.9 FM, BoulderFreeRadio.com, FROlympia.org, RevereRadio.net, ZeroPointRadio.com, and of course, the Portland Radio Authority, PRARadio.org. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, imploring you to get active or get radioactive. Take care.
How would you explain it?
Combining music and stylized images.
I mean, so it's all remote control.
Each one of those images was electronically based.
Stay out on my threat.
And that concludes our program for tonight.
Yep. This could really catch on.
I can't remember when I've been so moved.